Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
We could start with, am I going to look at, did you have a chance to see the mail? And you could say that, and I could talk about the thing I've been thinking about with the polarisation just this morning and talk about those various stories.
I'll follow your lead.
Okay.
I'm not going to start, because if I start, you'll go, and indeed, stand in it. So you start. I don't care if I start or not, but I can't read your mind. If I start with something, you'll go, oh, no, not that one.
In that case, I had to talk on the radio this morning about outdoor clothes, which came out of a Nannygate story.
Okay, so this is the story where Carrie and Boris Johnson fired a nanny on a three-month contract 3 days into her job. And it's a mystery as to why she, Theresa Dawes, who's 59, thinks it's because she had a drink with Boris Johnson while Carrie was still in hospital having their third child, Frank. They say...
She's 59.
She's hot. Have you seen her?
No.
She's very hot. She's Boris's type. She's gone to the papers because they didn't pay her. They've paid her for 6 days when she said they should pay me for the full terms of my three-month contract. I would have thought that would be quite a simple issue between them and the agency. Anyway, but it's
why has she... So wait, it's one of those things. You do find... So if the stories come out, whatever treatment happened to her, she says she had a drink with Boris when Carrie came out of hospital with the baby or whatever.
No, Carrie was still in hospital with the baby.
Yeah.
Theresa Dawes had a drink with Boris. Carrie Johnson's mother dobbed the nanny in to Carrie.
And for having a drink with Boris?
Yes.
The mother had been round and seen it?
Yes. The mother was at the house preparing, looking after the kids
and
helping out.
Were they fully clad? Was it a naked martini?
I don't think it was a naked martini.
So the mum saw, Carrie's mum.
Yes.
I'm trying to imagine, your mum comes round, sees me having a glass with...
And then says, I don't like that nanny. I saw her having a drink with Giles and they were laughing and it was all a bit rum.
Okay, so Carrie's fired this... They've fired this woman and they've not paid her. And it seems such a mistake, because if you're Boris and Carrie and you hire a nanny, don't give her any excuse to go to the papers, because the papers will buy the story. And
yeah,
it makes me think of a billionaire of our acquaintance. I don't know. He probably was in the papers and one could name him, but I won't. But he, you know, there's two billionaires and then there's the nice one and the not nice one.
Yes.
And it's not really fair, but the not nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Famously, there was caused a scene in which the police came outside his, as it were, Chelsea mansion. Because a prostitute he'd hired was kicking off and throwing things. And
not nice billionaire, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and he'd refused to pay her for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something about, maybe her services were not up to scratch, but he's a billionaire. I don't know what a prostitute costs money. I mean, £200, £300, I don't know, please, or innocent.
Cost of living crisis.
Whatever it is, who knows? But the point is, pay your fucking prostitute. If you're a billionaire, pay the prostitute. Don't complain, whatever it was, so that she makes a scene, not pay her, and the police come.
Same
thing as Boris, pay the nanny.
So it sparked a whole load of conversations about nannies and about people who've hired nannies and so on. And one of the stories that came out of it, which was in the T2 piece that I contributed to yesterday, was there was an anonymous piece, a piece by a nanny and a piece by me. And I think in the piece by a nanny, she said, Catherine something, she said I was fired for sitting on... outdoor furniture in my outdoor clothes.
No, sitting on indoor furniture, sitting on the sofa in outdoor clothes. And this just took off on Times Radio this morning. And I think, oh, maybe it's interesting. Maybe you want to write about it. And it was interesting to me. I mean, obviously, if you think of, we've never really had childcare. We had occasional sort of not professional nannies who would look after would look after Kitty a bit when Sam was a tiny baby, and if I was away working, you'd have someone. So we never really did have nannies, but know lots of people, mostly sort of rich, both of them working people, who have nannies. And they're the kind of people and lead the kind of life where they would have special sofas, a house with a special sitting room for show, living room, drawing room for show, which obviously we don't have. And that they would be so uptight about things. We always noticed that people who had nannies cared deeply about their children not having fizzy drinks and eating lots of broccoli and not having too much TV and never having chocolates, because mums that can't be there to raise their own children have to put a load of arbitrary rules in place because they've hired it off to some non-English speaking Filipina lady who's just on her phone while the kids watch telly. Mm-hmm. And they have to try and exert some sort of control. They're bound out. She sat in her outdoor clothes on it.
I wonder what she's talking about. I mean, did she sit down in sort of hiking boots or something?
Well, no. And here
was
is
Was it the... a coat? Just that she sat
down no,
in her No,
it's coat. Her clothes, okay? It's her outdoor clothes. And this made me think of you, who I love, obviously, and does everything right.
If you say the thing that I think you're going to say, I'm going to stab you to death in the kitchen right now. I do not get into bed.
Should we cover some other ground so we have a podcast before you do that?
No! I do not.
What am I going to say?
I do not get into bed.
Yes, you do!
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, she does.
I don't.
You do?
I don't.
Totally does. Yes, you do. No, listen. Sorry. Are you telling me that... you're a very hardworking woman. You write probably more journalism than me at the moment. You raise our children by hand. It's wonderful. And you
by hand? That sounds like
a smack. No, but it's a Dickens quote. Anyway, you've been at one of my... But all that. You come home, you're like, I sometimes come in and you're upstairs reading in the sheets, in your jeans.
That's fucking lies. I would sometimes, as you do, lie down on the top of my bed.
Even that's disgusting.
You do that all the time. You're constantly walking to our bedroom and you're lying on your back with a pillow on your face, in your jeans, fucking snoring your head off, okay? So you don't tell lies. It makes baby Jesus cry, okay? If I'm going to get into... I'm so tense. I'm like clutching that. I hate being a kid. You're lying. If I was going to get into bed and have a nap, I would take my outdoor clothes off.
I think you do.
I don't.
Sometimes you might take your jeans off. But I've seen you in that cardigan sitting in bed.
I would never wear this cardigan in bed. Maybe sometimes, thank you, maybe sometimes a t-shirt. What's wrong with my t-shirt? I've been rolling around in the
if you take that position, I'll accept it. But it's an interesting generational thing, the notion of the outdoor clothes or what you might bring in or not bring in. So I wouldn't get into bed in my clothes. Sam does.
Neither would I. Yes, our children do, and it's disgusting. And when they grow up, they'll realise that it's gross and stop doing it.
So you're saying there is no creative tension over this issue at all, and we should move on. And that's boring. Basically everyone sort of takes their shoes when they go into a house now.
Yeah.
And we always do. Maybe not downstairs necessarily, we walk around. It doesn't matter too much. But once we go upstairs, it would feel really weird. But growing up, my parents really... the kind of people who took their shoes off. We had some friends you had to take your shoes off, and it was like, what are they? Are they Chinese? Are they Japanese? The shoe taking off, some weird kind of Oriental thing. Are they sort of fifth columnist of some sort, some kind of socialist lefty thing? Take off your shoes. Ugh, what's that? Mm-hmm. A bit like one's come to feel about mask wearers. That sort of thing. But my dad kept his great muddy brogues on and walked all over the house and upstairs, and they walked about in the bedroom and with their shoes on.
Yeah.
And it's like as if there wasn't dog shit in the 70s. Yeah. There wasn't. It was white, famously. But he went to work, walked up and down Fleet Street, smoked his fags, came in, and then just walked thick pile carpet in your shoes. Look at you making faces.
I mean, in my house growing up, you had to keep your shoes on downstairs because it was so dirty. I mean, my mother thought dirt was healthy and, wasn't bothered to sort of wash the floors, and grew up on a farm and didn't care. So when we walk, you had to keep your shoes on downstairs. I don't mind taking my shoes off in people's houses unless it's the evening and it's a dinner party and I've got an outfit. That's annoying. I don't want to take off because I have thought about my outfit, and now if I'm going to someone's house and I know they're going to make me take my shoes off, I bring my own slippers. It is a very, it's very, these sorts of things about what happens in the home and what doesn't happen in the home that give people the major ick is quite interesting.
Yes, that's true.
So you could talk about, and that is a thing that always does incredibly well. The most talked about and successful and funniest piece I've ever written was for the Daily Mail about, you know, interior icks. It wasn't called that back then because this was years ago, but it was about things that other people have
interiors.
In Icks.
Icks of decoration, right?
Yes, exactly. Like live, love, laugh, busy making memories, like a vase with like tall sticks in it in a corner.
I have done an ick piece as well. We could not use the word ick, but I mean, but certainly.
But you've done it. Well, the problem is you've done interior faux pas, and then at the end you said 100 points for whoever can guess how many of these I've got in my own house, kind of thing. So maybe that's too soon. You can't do that.
Also, crap reasons to fire people. I mean, sat on a cushion in your outdoor clothes. Is
reasons to fire people, or like stupidest excuses for firing people.
Yeah.
But that's quite. I mean, how are you going to sustain that? For
don't know. Boring. Yeah, move on. Okay, fine. I accept that doesn't work. I thought it was quite funny. We talked about the barman story. I'd like to find it. Was it Monday? I feel like it was Monday.
Not allowed to encourage people to drink so much. No, I think that was.
I feel like it was on the front of the Times. Scraping through.
No, it's there.
Palm staff told to stop asking same again. Palm staff are to be told to stop using phrases such as same again and is that a double to curb binge drinking. The advice features in updated training guides produced by the alcohol industry for people working in the hospitality sector. It encourages bar staff to avoid any language that makes people feel pressured to drink, to make people who have walked into a public house, they must not feel pressured. In fact, it would have a sign on the door saying you're only allowed to come in here and use the toilet.
Yeah.
It encourages bar staff to be pressured to drink and warns against disparaging those who choose low or no alcohol options. I think I'll have to. You've got any low alcohol? Any low alcohol beer? Fuck off, wuss.
I am always a bit worried when we go to a pub and I just say all I want is like half a shandy.
Yeah.
I worry about sending you to the bar and to you're ask for half a shandy.
I wouldn't. No, to say half a shandy for the missus. Do you remember the Al Murray thing? Something fruit based for the lady.
Oh yes.
Yeah, it was the thing when my dear friend Max who made in the first week at university. He liked a lager top. Which, as opposed, and I hadn't even heard of that then. I'd heard of a shandy, and so he'd say a lager top, and I remember my friend Rob going, "What you mean a shandy?" He said, "No, a top." And then to watch him order at the bar, he would go and say, "Pint of Stella," and when it started pouring, he'd just say, "Just put a top on that, love," which means like just an inch of lemonade. It's a fucking shandy, Max. Just say shandy, and you can't. You have to say a pint of beer so that she starts pouring it because everyone's looking at you as you come to go for your drink. Yeah, it's pint of the old Stella, lovely. Yeah, just put a top on that.
Well, when I started, I've worked at bars and pubs and stuff. And when you start, the manager... Well, this is always my experience. The manager would say... When they ask
this
for,
is that place in Belsize Park by the Royal Free.
Yeah, don't name it and shame it. But like other places as well.
It closed out about nine times.
Oh, yeah.
Largely, everyone got so drunk from you offering them triples.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, but other places like bars and stuff in Bristol and like, you know, everyone's done barmaid work. But when you start, the manager says, if they ask for a glass of wine, you nod and you say, large, like that. And they always go, yeah. And they were like other stuff as well, just be nice and encouraging. And obviously, if you're out for dinner, or this happens to me all the time, you know, obviously I feel a bit shy about my terrible addiction to white wine. And if I've got someone colluding with me in it, because you don't want me to have a 14th glass of white wine, but matey does, and he's my new friend, and he just goes, yeah, go on. So it's a Monday. It's only Monday. You know, you've got the whole week to sleep it off.
Well, that's where you get into the business of the waiter in the overpour, which is a thing as a restaurant critic.
What's that? I
get. Well, they fill your glass too much.
Oh, they do that.
And then they go, you know, they turn it upside down and they go another one.
Another,
and that is definitely from a sort of training manual. But there's also that noise, which is, or that's the noise of, on this occasion, I'm using a biro on a coffee cup to mimic my wife's tendency to tap her wine glass with a fork.
Oh yes, I got
at
that
meals
I got
when that. She wants more wine.
Wallace Simpson used to do that.
Really?
So what's his face? She used to hold up her champagne glass and go like that, and that was an indication of him to scurry over with the champagne.
Which I got. So this is the. I'm going to envisage a sort of pub visit. 2027 walks into the thing, and it's like a pint of Guinness. Are you sure, sir?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't prefer a nice glass of water.
Orange juice.
If you bear in mind, J2O. There comes a point in a pub evening when they won't give you a drink. When and they go, I think sir's had enough. So there's somewhere between starting off not wanting to have, you've got to fill them full of drinks and then throw them out before they've had too much.
Yeah.
It's during one scenario, and they're actually doing scenarios where they're training these people to say, they don't say, do you want a large? They say, would you like a small or large measure? Or perhaps no booze?
Yeah, or perhaps none? Or
perhaps none, sir. Perhaps what was none. Your notion you might go into?
Well, you could imagine all that in pubs in 2027. You know, you walk in and I'll have a, and all of that that you just said. But then maybe...
And the fact of the cork scratchings. But sir, think of the pigs.
Yeah, exactly. You other service providers who sell you terrible things that are bad for you, how could they use nudge tactics to persuade you not to do something? And you go all the way down to like local drug dealers. They could turn up and say, are you sure you need this? Or would you like just this bag of magnesium bath salts? I'm sure it would help you relax as much as a joint would, or whatever, I don't know.
The nudge culture with the things that, you know, that Amazon tries to sell you things, usually things you've already bought. I endlessly get told books, because I buy so many books on Kindle and so many books on Amazon. Mm. There's always this thing, well, you know, when Kitty was reading Anna Karenina, so I sort of...
No, you can't say that. Neil, you've got to cut that out. You cannot boast of Kitty reading Anna Karenina.
I didn't boast.
Charles, serious. You can't say when Kitty was reading Anna
Karenina. It was only throwaway. So when she was reading Anna Karenina, then I got it to read as well. And then you get thinking, did you read Anna Karenina? Perhaps you would enjoy War and Peace. And you just go, no,
I definitely
wouldn't. I can't do that if you can't.
No, all right, sorry. Maybe I was a bit hasty.
It's okay. That's all right. That's fine. Some kids, bookish kids who don't do much else and read books. Every girlfriend I've ever had when they were sort of 11 and 12 had read sort of Jane Austen and shit like that. It's only you that... Still reading Garfield Annuals when he went to university.
It's why I've got such a good sense of humour.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
No, this is what I was looking for. No mammal life on 60 centigrade supercontinent of future in 250 million years, writes Niall Jeffrey in the Times. The seven continents of the Earth will no longer exist. What remains will be a vast supercontinent called Pangaea Ultima, where the scorching conditions will cause the extinction of mammal life.
Yeah, who cares? I won't.
What do you mean? I find that fucking depressing.
Yes.
I have no plans to die. I accept that I will, deep down at an unconscious level. But I might... It's not definite that I'll be dead in 250 million years. And that
particularly
is,
if you keep going for all those walks and eat all those chickpeas.
What is the point of occasionally not drinking on a Monday night if I'm going to be dead in less than 250 million
that
years?
That is what a lot of people think.
Yes. So, but it reminded me, don't it? It reminded me as a kid of, you know, this knowledge that, you know, some kid at school who reckoned he knew a bit... Like the sort of Russell Brand of kids.
Oh my God, so glad I don't know that kid.
But in my case, it would have been, but I've mentioned it before, Nicholas Potter, who's now a very, very successful osteopath.
Oh, Nick the Neck.
Who said to me, who began ended my childhood on the way back from swimming. I've told you this 1,000 times, but on the way back from swimming, when he said, "So, Coram, what are you most afraid of?" And I went, "Oh, sharks, I think, probably, Nick." And I said, "What about you?" And he said, "Global thermonuclear Armageddon." And I went, "What?" He goes, oh, it's both the superpowers have the capability. He didn't talk like that. Have the capability to destroy the world 40 times over. And I went home and asked my mum, is it true? She said, yes, shut up, go to bed. That moment was when I saw that sharks, not the immediate danger of that, but it was global thermonuclear Armageddon. But, and the thing was, so you were aware that the world could end. But the same kind of a guy would tell you that in 100 million years, the Earth will be gobbled into the sun. Yes. And it found... The idea that it's all going to end, it's like the kids going, what's outside the universe? What was there before the Big Bang? Yeah. That story is asking me to accept that I will be dead.
Yeah.
In ways that I find unacceptable.
The human... I think the human condition is basically the knowledge that we are going to die. And it's why... It's the reason why being alive is so terrible, and it's the reason why people drink, and it's the reason why people do all sorts of mad things. It's because we have a consciousness, and it fucks us up.
So you're saying when I go to the pub tonight and say, can I have a large whiskey? And they go, are you sure you don't want a small one? I'll go, no, we're all going to be dead in 250 million years.
Fill her up.
I just thought, what it does strangely as well, is it ties into the climate change thing, because we're all going worrying about climate change, and what's going to happen? And well, everyone except Rishi Sunak is worried about it. And what is your time frame? What's your internal time frame? It's happening now. Now, deep down, we definitely, you're going to go, I'm 54. I mean, I am probably, terrible things could happen, but I'm probably not going to, my house isn't going to be underwater before I die.
No.
Climate change isn't going to be there. But what about the children? Mm-hmm. And obviously what we're talking about, what's more likely to happen is that the whole of the Asian subcontinent will be underwater and there'll be migration issues which will create wars, which will create, and it'll all be, could be fucked in 10 or 15 years. But maybe we can avert it. And there's something about being told that the world's going to be 60 degrees and everything's going to be dead in 250 million years that kind of brings that, reinforces your fear of climate change, reinforces your fear of the end of the world that could happen sooner.
It just makes you want to have a drink.
Well, you tell me a subject then.
Times front page today is about people are not having baths anymore.
Yes, and with a picture of Suella Braverman. Yeah. That's a bit of a whiff. Oh no, that's her politics I can smell.
And I just wondered if there was something to be done about baths and showers and cleanliness generally.
I like that.
But I wonder what... So it's weirdly, it's a survey by PZ Cussons, who make mostly bath soap.
Yes, how strange that they should have commissioned a thing.
Yeah.
Are they calling for more baths? Britain's pulled the plug on bath time to save money. Britain is turning into a nation of bath dodgers as households turn off the taps to save cash during the cost of living crisis. Pointed to a change in washing habits, more customers swapping baths for showers to reduce their water and energy bills, while consumers are cutting back on bathing products. The good news is, they've written, the country is not on a slippery slope to smelliness. Well done, Isabella Fish, retail editor. If the country is not on a slippery slope to smelliness, sales of soap bars are booming. And is she envisaging that this slippery slope would be soapy?
Yeah. But I love the complete suspension of disbelief that because people aren't having a bath, then they can't wash and they will be smelly. There are a million different ways to wash, including showers. And my very faintly conspiracy theory idea that as you get older, daily washing is bad for your skin, which I do
conspiracy
think
theory.
Well, it's a bit kind of old wife, isn't it? Oh, daily washing is bad for your skin, but I think it is, particularly in London where the water is so horrid, and you insist on sort of having a shower every single day, and I just think it's really makes your skin.
I didn't have a shower the day before yesterday,
so
I skipped a shower.
I haven't had a shower for a week.
It's fucking disgusting. Just sit there drinking your large measures of whiskey and humming, getting into bed in your filthy fucking clothes. It's probably best that you do keep your outdoor clothes on when you get into my bed, considering your naked body is going to have things living in the crevices.
I actually had a shower yesterday, but as a rule, I don't wash.
Just literally scratching your head. I saw a mouse run out of it.
Where are we going with this? Baths and showers.
Well, look, so we don't really have baths. We're talking about my mum's generation. My mum just only baths.
Lives in the bath.
Lives in the bath.
Yeah.
Smokes in the bath. Drinks in the bath.
Yeah,
Joan Collins.
Yeah, no. But that is quite appealing. Just having a, you know,
when we
having
did
your
our
martini
new bathroom,
on.
She came in and looked at our bath with horror because there was nowhere to put an ashtray.
Well, there is now.
We've got a freestanding bath. And she's always hating, there's nowhere to put your stuff. And you go, what stuff? And you know she's thinking, ashtray, lighter, fags.
Book, yeah.
Book, drink, maid binchy.
My
always, maid binchy and a glass of champagne. and two packets of salt cut in case it's a long bath.
I mean, look, I mean, she's a marvellous woman.
She's still alive.
Yeah.
I was brought up having a bath every night, bath. And I mean, the first time I went to New York, I had a hotel room and it didn't have a bath in, and it was like $400 a night. How could it not have a bath?
Yeah.
No, none of our rooms have baths here. No, you won't find a bathtub in New York City.
Or a washing machine or an oven.
Yeah, it's true. So I just think, there's a generation that thinks of it as civilised, and you get down to, I don't know, the French don't bath. And they poo standing up.
No. But I wonder what, I don't think you really care enough about baths or showers to really write an entire column about it.
Right, what else?
Okie dokie, how about flying taxis?
Yeah,
A conversation with the flying taxi driver. What would it be?
What's his excuse for being late? It can't be that it was traffic.
They're not late taxi drivers, but they... I mean, is he going to be doing the Sun crossword while he's flying his taxi over?
Are you thinking very much of the black taxi?
Of course.
It's certainly...
Is the pilot going to have a spare seat next to him for his bale of hay for his horse? That's that apocryphal thing that taxi drivers...
Do you have to do the knowledge if you're just in the air? How would you get from Marble Arch to Stamford Hill? I'd fly.
Yes, exactly. Right. Do you have to... Is part of your training watching old episodes of The Jetsons?
What? Wrong with you?
You've not seen The Jetsons?
I've seen The Jetsons.
Amazing noise, the sound effect they used to have for the flying cars... It's a really great little noise.
Yes. So there is a potential. There's potential sort of...
What's their excuse for not getting south of the river?
there's this story comes out all the time. The flying car. The flying car is a thing. If you looked at visions of the future from the 1930s,
yeah.
Flash Gordon, when it was a comic, and then also it was a sort of black and white, sort of 20-minute. Cine reel with Buster Crabbe in it. They flew around in flying cars, and you early Superman films of Krypton. The vision was these flying cars,
yeah, like Jetsons,
Like 100 years, and the Jetsons indeed in the '60s. Then that's what their view was. Well, the thing about the Jetsons, it was in common with the Flintstones. It was exactly the same show. That the Flintstones, they put them in the K's, and the Jetsons, they put them in thing. But it was just 1960s people.
Yeah.
But it's this vision that this is what the future is going to be, and at the even the Times for every couple of years, it'll be flying taxis, flying cars. First of all, no, there aren't. It's not going to happen.
No, it's just the future is just a global information superhighway and conspiracy theories. That's
the idea. It says here, flying taxis are gathering momentum as the aerospace industry toils to deliver a solution to congested cities and so-called road and rail not spots that will help urban and regional travel. And you think, it's just going to be traffic jams in the air, isn't it? The idea, you know, if they build an extra lane on a motorway, the traffic expands to fill the space that it's got.
Yeah, yeah,
so
absolutely.
What you're going to have is road rage incidents up there, traffic jams up there.
Pilots leaning out the window, just pushing.
Special bicycle lanes.
Yes, in the air. Highway bicycle.
People not in helmets, everyone's going, you should be wearing a...
Exactly. And the electric taxi's limited to 20 miles an hour while the cyclists go, nyong, nyong, nyong. All of that. That's a fun... I mean, I think that... Translating old-fashioned hackney cab etiquette to the air, I think, is funny. Uber's not that amusing.
No, old-fashioned hackney cab. I was just thinking, of the thing when you're in your flying taxi and you're going down to watch a play or something, and it's a bit, and there's a massive traffic jam. You go, don't worry, I'll walk from here. Open the door. Whoops. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.